So we're going to look at this very short verse tonight, and I know I'm going through here rather slow, but we're looking at every verse and just about every word as we go through here. And I pray that it's been a blessing to you as we go through this book. All right, Colossians chapter 2 and verse number 9 is what we're looking at tonight. All right, Colossians chapter 2. And verse number 9, now this is the verse, of course, that follows verse 8, but it's significant in the fact that Paul has just got done warning this church, warning the church of Colossae, the church at Laodicea, and us about some things that could come into the church and spoil us. In the previous verses before that, in verse number 6 and 7, talks about walking in Christ, being rooted and built up in Him, established. And he's telling them that because of the warning that he gives in verse number 8, that there could be those that come into the church that spoil you through philosophy, vain deceit, traditions of men, after the rudiments of the world and not after Christ. And so verse 9, following these verses, is important because Paul is bringing the emphasis back on Christ. He just briefly mentions these things that could come in and spoil a church, but then takes the attention right back to Christ. And throughout the whole book of Colossians, we have found that the theme of the book has been Christ. Christ is the head of the church, and He is all in all. The key word in the book of Colossians, we mentioned back in the introduction, is the word all itself, because it's mentioned over and over again, and most of the time it has to do with Christ. And so he goes from the bewares, and he puts your thoughts back on Christ immediately, and the next few verses will be that way. Now later on in the chapter, he's going to go back to warning the church about some things, but right now he put his focus back on Christ and our standing in Christ after salvation. But this verse 9, for in Him, speaking of Christ, dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, is in exact opposition to the warnings in verse number 8. He talks about the spoiling through philosophy and vain deceits, traditions of men and the rudiments of the world. All of those things are emptiness. They're vain deceits. They're void of any kind of thing that'll help you. And he sums up what you have in Christ as fullness, and in Him is all fullness. And so he gives you that it's all found in Christ. We can't find it anywhere else. So for in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And so for in Him, this is speaking of Jesus Christ. Paul evidently wanted this church to know, and us also, being church-age saints, that Christ is everything. And that's what every child of God needs to realize, that Jesus Christ is everything. It's all in Him. It's all found in Him. Some cross-references to go with that is one that we've already looked at here in Colossians. Colossians 1:19, for it pleased the Father that in Him, speaking of Christ, should all fullness dwell. Not only should we get our Bible and our wisdom and instruction from Jesus Christ, but He is where we should get our satisfaction. He is where we should find our fullness. There should be nothing of this world that fills us up. That should come from Christ. And the overflow of being full of Christ is all the blessings we get that comes with that. But the blessings is not why we get full of Christ. It's because of who He is. 2 Corinthians 5:19, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespass unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. God was in Christ. So for in him, which is Christ, dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And we're going to look at that last part here in just a minute. All right, for in him dwelleth. This is a truth that covers the past and the present. And I'll explain that with this, because the fullness of the Godhead dwelt bodily in Jesus Christ as a man on earth. Now, there are a lot of cross-references for this thought. I just gave a couple out of the book of John. But Jesus Christ had to deal with this with a lot of the Pharisees and a lot of the other scholars of that day, because they could not wrap their mind around the fact that Jesus was claiming to be God, or he wasn't denying that he was God. He said, me and God, we're one and the same. And that bothered them. So when he was on this earth during his earthly ministry, the fullness of the Godhead dwelt bodily in Jesus Christ. John 1:14, and the Word, which was Christ, we have cross references for that, was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John 1:18, no man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father. And again, there's a lot of verses in these verses here and cross references. We're not going to cover them right now. John 14:9 through 10, Jesus saith unto him, have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. One more cross-reference to Jesus Christ physically in the body as a man on this earth. The fullness of the Godhead dwelt in him. 1 Timothy 3:16. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the Spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. So this is both past and present, that in Christ dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. You say, how does that apply to today and to the present time? And that is, and now dwells in his spiritual body. Spiritual body. Again, we talked about Christ is the head of the body, the head of the church. Ephesians 3:19, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. That's talking about a spiritual body. So now he dwells the fullness of the Godhead in his spiritual body. Ephesians 1:23, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Ephesians 4:16, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth according to the effectual working in the measure of every part maketh increase of the body into the edifying of itself in love. And there's other verses found there in chapter 4 that go along with this thought that this is a spiritual body. So now Christ not only in the past bodily had this indwelling of the Godhead, but also his spiritual body. All right, when it says in our text, the fullness there, for in him dwelleth all the fullness. This is in opposition, as I mentioned when I first started, to the vain or empty doctrines of the Gentiles and Jewish philosophers. It's an exact opposition of some of the things we are warned about in verse number 8. So in Christ there's fullness, and again, you could preach through some of these things and even other references we could look at. At the very end of your paper, there's two quotes on there about this fullness. I just put them at the very end of yours just for a note. But there is a fullness in Christ suited to the empty, destitute state of the human soul. But in the philosophy of the Jews and Gentiles, nothing like this was found. Nor indeed in the more refined and corrupt philosophy of the present day. No substitute has ever been found for the grace of the Lord Jesus. And those who have sought for one have disquieted themselves in vain. And there are people still today that are trying to find some kind of satisfaction, some kind of fullness, some kind of completeness in their Christian life, and they're not going to find it in anything outside of the Lord Jesus Christ and what he has for them and what he has for them out of this book. Another one, the fullness of the Godhead dwelt in Christ bodily as opposed to the Jewish tabernacle or our temple. Truly and really, in opposition to types and figures, not only effectively, as God dwells in good men, but substantially or personally by the strictest union, as the soul dwells in the body, so that God and man are one in Christ. And so we find this fullness is found in Christ. All right, I'm going to finish up with the Godhead here and just give you some kind of interesting things about our Bible. I'm thankful for my King James Bible. And I believe it's the perfect and errant word of God. The Godhead. So this consists of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. So when our Bible says the Godhead, that's what it's referring to. It's referring to this Trinity. All right, and the text verse that we have for the Trinity is also the same verse that almost every new Bible translation removes and takes completely out is 1 John 5:7. Almost every modern Bible version takes this verse completely out. 1 John 5:7, for there are three that bear record in heaven. The Father, the Word. John chapter 1 gives you your cross references to that is Christ. It's a capital W. And the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. All right, so here's some neat things about our Bible. And I don't know how much you have ever looked into numerology in the Bible or things that people call a coincidence, but I don't think there's anything coincidental about our Bible. And I even believe that God preserved our Bible with the number markings, with the inscriptions, with the title of the books. I believe that he did that. I told a preacher the other day, he was telling me that they were having a debate about who wrote the book of Hebrews. And I said, man, that's no debate. It said Paul wrote it. And they're like, well, that's not inspired. And I said, well, if I go to heaven and God said, hey, you believe my Bible a little too much, buddy, then I'll just say, Lord, I'm sorry. I just believed it too much. But I do believe that the numbering system in the Bible and all that kind of stuff, I believe the Lord preserved that and he set that up. And I'm going to show you something neat about this Godhead based off of that. Brother Kevin Mann actually did this when he was here, when he visited us and came for Sunday school. He showed us this. The word Godhead appears three times. Okay? So you have the Trinity. So Godhead is only found three times in the King James Bible. That's it. And there's one for each, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. All right? One for each member. The very first mention of the word Godhead is a representation of God the Father. Okay? For as much, this is Acts 17:29, for as much then as we are the offsprings. And in Acts 17, it says this, God, so there's the representation of God the Father, and this is the first mention. We ought not to think that the Godhead, it's a capital G in your Bible, is like unto gold or silver or stone graven by art and man's device. So the first time Godhead is mentioned in the Bible, it has to do with God. We find him represented in the text, in the verse. And this is the first mention. The Godhead is a spiritual. It's a spiritual thing. Okay? And not physical. And so in our text, it talks about the Godhead, and it represents three things here, the gold, the silver, the stone. It said, do not, you ought not to think of the Godhead like unto gold, silver, or stone, some kind of physical trinity graven by art or man's hands. And the reason he tells you that is because it's not physical, it's a spiritual thing. All right, so he tells us that. All right, now here's the nuggets. And if it was any other verse, you couldn't do this with it. One, so you got Acts 17:29. I got this from the Kevin Mann book. Acts 17:29. So you got 1 plus 7 plus 2 plus 9. Add all those numbers together. What do you come up with? 19. Okay, 1 plus 9 is 10. And you reduce that to a single number, you do 1 plus 0, it's 1. So God the Father is number 1. The number 1 member of the Trinity. Okay? Now watch this. This is it, I thought it was neat. All right, the second mention, speaking of the Son, this is not in order, but this is the Son. God the Son. That's the second. And I forgot to take out Son there. All right? God the Son is the second member of the Trinity. So Colossians 2:9, which is our text that we're in now, the subject of for in him is Christ. So we found God mentioned in the first one, and we find Christ represented here in the second one. The second time that Godhead is mentioned, with dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead. All right. Another number nugget that follows suit from the first one, 2 plus 9 is 11, and 1 plus 1 is 2. So God is the second member of the Trinity. All right, the third mention, or the third member, I should change that to member. The third member is God, the Holy Ghost. Okay, and that's found in Romans 1:20. So in Acts, we found God represented in that text because it said God, the offspring of God. We found Christ represented in the second text where Godhead was mentioned because it says in him, and in him is Christ of the previous verse. And then Romans chapter 1, verse 20, it says, for the invisible. Well, there you have something to tie it to the Holy Ghost. You have a representation of the Holy Ghost. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead. So it's only mentioned three times in the King James Bible, and every one of the mentions is representative of one of the three of the Trinity. Okay? And again, just to highlight it, notice the word invisible. This is your representation of the Holy Ghost. Okay, and following suit from the previous two, how the numbers worked out for number one and number two. Let's see. This represents the Holy Ghost. Okay, 1 plus 2 plus 0, Romans 1:20, is what?
Three.
The third member of the Trinity. And so every single one of those, even their addresses, point towards who is represented in those verses. All right. So I intentionally just did this one verse tonight, and I knew that it was going to be short. Also know we got a choir practice and cleaning to do tonight, so we'll try to get those knocked out. But then I know next Wednesday we'll be in revival. So Lord willing, the following week, a great verse. I love this verse. And ye are complete in Him, which is the head of all principality and power. And that is a verse that is continued into verse number 11. It's a continued thought. And actually goes down all the way through verse number 12. And we're going to be getting into spiritual circumcision. And so there's a lot to cover. So I'm going to end with verse number 9 for tonight.